That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this beautiful sunny morning, July 3rd, 2021, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Blue skies, just some little white fluffy clouds out, and we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on, and Josh, from way down south, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Paul from, way up north, good morning.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Morning.
And John, thanks for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us this Saturday morning for coffee. We've got our Bibles. We've got our coffee. And the phone lines will be open this morning if you care to join us. Plenty to discuss, plenty to pray about, plenty to be in prayer about as we have another day to do what we can. John, we'll ask you to open us up in prayer, and then we'll move on from there.
Sure. Our Father, who art in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we come before you humbly but boldly this morning, claiming the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. Promises like, greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And that you have given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. We thank you for this time that you've set aside Saturday mornings for your people to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says, not forsaking the assembly, which is so prevalent in the land today. Father, we see that Scripture and prophecy is unfolding before our eyes. Father, we know it's because we fell asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel, and we allowed this evil, wickedness, filth to fester and to grow. And Father, we ask that you would hear us as we cry out, Lord, for grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you would find us your people, worthy to escape the things that are coming. Above all, right now, we need wisdom, understanding, and discernment. We need to hear you, the Lord, and be obedient when we do. Father, we ask that you would do just that, guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment, especially as the patriarchs of our household, Lord, as we have the responsibility for the well-being of our wives and children, those that are under us. And as we approach this 10-year anniversary of the day that you called our pastor home, Peter John Peters, we remember the warnings for 30 years of what would happen if we did not humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. But Father, we know that just as you did with Nineveh, there's a chance that if your people wake up, if there is a national repentance, then you will pull back the destruction that is planned. Father, sometimes we don't know how to pray, and I just ask that this prayer this morning would be pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray for your people, the remnant. Lord, I pray that you would continue to make the provisions that they need. Father, we claim the promises of Malachi 3:10, that if we do these things, if we tithe, then your word says to test me and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven so that your blessings will be innumerable. And Father, that you would thwart those that seek to cause our destruction. We claim those promises, Lord. As the sons of God, we ask that you would forgive us, Lord, for the sins we know about and the ones that we don't. Father, I pray for a great awakening with regards to obedience, to repentance, and being born again of the water and the Spirit, that there would be a rush of people who decide to finally have the scales removed from their eyes and their ears unstopped, and that desire to be in that covenant with you, to contact that blood through baptism for the remission of sins. I pray that not only here in this little white church at the base of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, but all throughout the country, Lord, you got men that understand the truth, that have contacted the blood and can baptize the same as can be baptized here in this local church. Father, hear us as we cry out to save America again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you have a question or a comment. And, Paul, I know you've only got the first half of the program with us, so we'll go to you. Anything particular on your mind or something you want to start with this morning?
Yeah, maybe. I was reading Isaiah 31. I want to read just a little bit of it here. It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt or Uncle Sam for help and stay on the horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek ye the Lord. Now, this is what we have today. We're looking for all our worthless, manly remedies here, and we don't call on the Lord. I mean, this is an epidemic, and, you know, most of the people around me have no knowledge of the Bible whatsoever. I mean, it's just superficial. And if you read on, it's a good chapter. They're just muscle, and they're not the Lord. They're not flesh, not spirit, it says in verse 3. So I think that's where we're at today in America. We haven't looked to the Lord, and he will oppress us until we turn to him. So, as I see it.
Amen. I agree.
Absolutely. That's what he did throughout the Bible to his people, to get them to return to him. Nothing new under the sun. We certainly are seeing it once again. Josh, how about from
himself? Well, I like a verse of that scripture too. Is Paul, you were in Isaiah 31, right?
Yep.
And if you continue on, and it really tells a complete story. So I don't know, picking it up early in verse 4, it says, "For this is what the Lord says to me: As the lion for the young lion growls over its prey, against which a band of shepherds is called out, and will not be terrified at their voice, nor disturbed at their noise, so will the Lord of armies come down to wage war on Mount Zion and on its hill like flying birds. So the Lord of armies will protect Jerusalem. He will protect it and save it. He will pass over and rescue it. Return to him," this is in verse 6, "return to him against whom you have been profoundly obstinate, you sons of Israel. For on that day every person will reject his silver idols and his gold idols, which your hands have made for you as a sin. And the Assyrian will fall by a sword, not wielded by a man, and a sword not of a man will devour him, though he will not escape the sword. And his young men will become forced laborers. His rock will pass away because of panic, and his officers will be terrified by the flag, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem." And, I just recently read that whole scripture, too, and that is, it tells a story. And, boy, when I read it, it pricked me, and it's like, you know, this is a scripture. I think that, you know, we're seeing it, and we're going to experience it. It's here.
Yeah, it was very comforting to me, you know, because, woe to go down to Egypt or go down to Uncle Sam and look at all the help. You know, so many people trust, well, this government's not going away, but it's out of control. I mean, it's just shoving paper into the economy, and it's in the world running, going down the drain. So that's our hope, and it's a great hope.
Yep, exactly.
The other day there was a $1 billion short in one day on Chase, which meant that Chase lended out more money than the 7% that they have to, at the end of each day, I guess the banks have to account for 7%. It used to be, I think, 10, but anyway, 7% of the assets of what they loaned out. The Fed had to come in and bail them out for $1 billion in one night. So,
and that's just to cover that the 7%. So that's, they loaned out, what, like $90 billion over what they were supposed to?
Right. But, I mean, that's the highest number ever in one night, $1 billion to cover the put, or whatever they call it, the short. So, just like Paul says, absolutely.
I mean, they're just issuing paper every which way, and there's nothing behind it.
That's why money's not worth anything if you've bought anything lately.
Turn to dross, God said.
Amen. Yeah. But there are those that are drawn closer to the Lord through all of this, too. So, I mean, I think it's a culling that's going on as well. Are we witnessing that great apostasy? I say yes. Because none of these things can take place until that. And that's what we're seeing, this great falling away seeing the churches exposed too, though, for what they are, and even people who have gone to these Judeo-Christian churches for years, basically just playing church, fulfilling what they believe is a requirement to go to church for an hour or two a week or whatever. Even they are awakened and left the church.
Well, many people that did any thinking at all have left a long time ago, you know. They just see the futility of it.
Right.
They don't necessarily go anywhere except they left. So, I mean, there's people in my generation and my peers and stuff, a lot of them just left the church and never, you know, pushed on and studied. You know, I studied and stuck with the Word, but it was a difficult road. But so many people never took that road. So, but, you know, yeah. the story of when the miners in, was it Ireland, that cuffed so bad that then they were converted that the mules didn't even understand them. So that can happen, and we hope for that day.
Amen.
Yep.
Romans 13:11 talks about that.
But more
that it's
fallen away.
Time to awaken.
More have fallen away, though, than have taken took the road that you took as far as searching, delving deeper into the Word. More have just decided that, well, yeah, we don't go to church anymore, so now Sunday's just another day of the weekend to golf or to whatever.
I'd rather be around those folks, John, for the most part, than I had the ones that are in the churches.
No, I hear you. But it is the great apostasy that we're witnessing, I believe.
So this morning I had to go into town and went to the rental place and was talking to the guy at the counter. And it's just, you know, everybody sees that there's stuff going on. And it's not hard to have a conversation with people at all and to be able to get into some meat because the door is open right now, I feel like.
Yeah.
And we started talking about God, and he was talking about being a Christian, and his, what he said. He said, you know, he said, I pulled out of the churches long ago. He said, but you don't have to have church to be a Christian. He said, I got a old wooden rocking chair under a big oak tree in my yard. And he said, that's my church now. He said, I get out there and sit and read my Bible and talk to God. He said, and that's a better place for me than whenever I was in the churches.
Amen.
But it is, I mean, just like you always talk about, it is but a remnant, you know, and it's not a fun thing or a boisterous thing. It goes against our nature to be humble and to be meek. You know, everybody wants to be prideful and boastful. That's a lot more fun than being humble, but it takes a lot more strength to be
a lot
more
focused into the vaccine too. I think God's gonna force people to humble themselves, admit, repent of taking that and look into man instead of him. And the sad thing is that there'll be many so-called Christians, even followers of Jesus Christ, who will hang on to that pride. You know, we know that the queers took the rainbow as their symbol, and then obviously they came up with their Pride Month. Obviously, it's a thumb in their nose at God.
Yep.
Exciting times that we're living in, for sure. No shortage of things to pray for or against.
Well, you know, the Bible tells us not to weep when the wicked are cut off, you know, and I think we have a lot of concern for our fellow man, but sometimes we have to just dust our shoes once you tell them and stuff, the responsibility's on them. And that's how I've come to peace with myself, is because I, you know, people make choices and I can't change that. Where are you going for the answer? You know, the Bible says that they rebelled against me. But he said he is going to save us anyway. So, and that's kind of a good thing. But there are consequences to what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't mean we're not going to suffer through it.
Right. I think, you know, even Paul died a miserable death because of his past, you know. If you study that out, you do reap what you sow. I mean, it's never over, so.
Yep.
Yeah, it gives new understanding to that, that all creation groans and cries out for the revealing of the sons of God. And it is, all creation, you know, just as it rains on the just and the unjust, we all have to get through this. You know, there's not a, you know, that's a big fallacy that many in the Judeo-Christian world have believed and bought into, of that rapture. That, oh no, this just I'm just waiting to be raptured out and ignoring just about everything else. I think a lot of those are those that you mentioned earlier about. Just they get their hour in church a week and think that they've got it covered. You know, as we celebrate tomorrow the birthday of our nation, Josh, I was thinking about that when you said that guy you talked to that had his church was in his rocking chair out there. There were many of our forefathers that they might have gone to church, but the Christian ethic, loving God, loving your neighbors, yourself, the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, that was an everyday thought to them. You know, they were an agricultural society, and in agriculture, you know, especially 200 plus years ago, you certainly were tied to God, and in prayer. For, you know, weather and against disease and grasshoppers and all of that. And it wasn't just something to do on Sunday morning. It was truly a way of life. And we just don't see that in our society anymore. You see it in individuals, but we don't see it in the society. And it's not, you know, Christianity is not a Sunday morning or Saturday morning or whenever you want to call your Sabbath. That don't want to get into that, but it's not just a Sunday morning thing. It is, as it was called, it's the way. And so many just don't get that. They want to still be friends with all the ways of the world. And with all the people that are friends and with all the ways of the world. And it just is not possible. You know, the wise.
Well, you know, it comes down to this. It comes down to the fact that God created a remnant that hungered and thirsted for the truth. And the Bible says that if you don't believe the truth, he will send upon you a strong deluding influence. And there is a multitude right now that's receiving a strong deluding influence. So if you haven't hungered and thirsted for the truth of the Word of God, and there is only a remnant that has and still does. But the good news is what Josh said too. The door is open right now, bigger than ever before, to share the truth of the gospel. And people are starting to hunger and thirst for the truth. They understand that they believed a lie. They understand that they've been hoodwinked, so to speak, specifically in the religious world, and exciting times for sure. We have a greater opportunity than ever before to share the truth of repentance, the truth of baptism, the truth of the Israel truth is pretty critical right now. People are starting to see that, wait a minute, why are they specifically targeting the white Christian straight male? I mean, even other races are starting to see that. So,
yes,
it's interesting.
It is. Guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Warren.
How are you doing?
We are well.
Tuned in. What Saturday? Missed your copy. Thing for some reason. I was listening a little bit. We listened to like Rostock and stuff. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but and then Brandon Allison, they've been talking about pretty much the same thing, you know. All the white Anglo-Saxon people are being attacked and you know, called bigots and well, neo-Nazis, you know, all the names they got for them. They don't mention on these radio programs that, you know, they call it supremacist. God intended us to be, you know, as superior over the rest of the world when he made his covenant with Abraham. You know, the other races weren't the chosen race. I was going to call in, too, and mention that. Did you talk about what happened down there in Florida? You know, that building came down?
Yes.
Well, as soon as it happened, I said to Sheila, the Bible says, they will build up and I will tear down. You know, we had to pray for them. We had to pray for our nation, especially our nation. Everybody thinks we're free. They're shooting up all their fireworks and we're independent, you know. And that building was only 40 years old, you know. Our Capitol Red House is hundreds of years old. We live in an older house. I think the biggest thing is the materials they're using in them and the craftsmanship. I also want to pray for my daughter, Leanna. She got a good job. Now she has to find a good house. And I thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for our house. It's an older house. But the structure, you know, the older houses will stand up against the elements and stuff more than the new ones. So, well, I have a good...
Amen.
Have coffee with us, and Sheila's making breakfast. God bless you.
All right, Warren. Thanks for joining, and thanks for the call.
Thanks, Warren.
Son of that, we are a chosen people, and we are certainly blessed. But also, too, there's a responsibility that goes with that, because we know that to whom much is given, much is expected. And as heirs to the kingdom, you know, right now, when I look around, I don't think we've got a whole lot to be proud in ourselves of what a swell job we've been doing. If anything, you know, we should be humble and be thankful that God's still keeping us around with the way that we've screwed everything up. So I certainly do understand where the caller was going that, but also, too, we want to make sure that, you know, you don't end up with this internal pride or whatever in the negative sense. So, oh, look at me, because I don't want folks looking at me a whole lot, because ain't much. And but I do try. I try to do what God calls me to do and gives me an opportunity. I try to open through that or walk through that door that he opens. Go ahead, John.
Absolutely. You know, the enemy is 100% correct when they say that the greatest threat against them, against their way of life, against the demonic forces of hell, is the white Christian straight male. You know, so they're telling the truth. They understand it. They know that we're the only ones in the covenant with God that can bring them down. But it has to be through repentance and obedience. And right now, it appears the enemy's winning, but there's also a great awakening going on, I believe, in the hearts and minds of Christians that are turning into the followers of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. And we have to remember that those are not the things we will see on news broadcasts. Those are not the things that we see on CNN and MSNBC. Those aren't the things that Fox News covers. You know, when people become doers of the word, it's just not. It's ignored. It is stifled. That's not the purpose of the media. And so, you know, there is an element of faith that comes in. You know, talking, just like Warren said about some of the other radio programs that are talking about the same thing. Hey, there's a war on the white Christian male. And like you said, John, there's several, or somebody did, there's several of the other races that are saying the same thing and are seeing the same thing. And so, you know, the harder the enemy tries, God uses it for good to open people's eyes to the truth of what is really going on. And more are awakening. You know, you mentioned earlier about that awakening. And in Joel 1 talks about awake drunkards. And that's how, you know, a lot of our people have become, you know, drunk with that spirit of Egypt, with that spirit of Babylon. And it is a spirit of destruction, and there are some of our people that are waking up to it, that are seeing, I don't want anything to do with that. And it is happening all over. You know, we're seeing more people order information packets. We're seeing more people getting baptized. And those are good things. They are. That remnant is there. And Isaiah 51 talks about that a remnant will return. And that word is as solid as any of it and as truthful as any of it. And as
yeah, I've been talking with Brother Brent in Canada, and boy, there you talk about oppression, being locked down. Canada is, you know, 50-100 times worse than what's going on with us right now. Obviously, we feel like we have a reprieve, but the enemy's just planning for the next bout of this stuff. I was reading the other day. I knew. For some reason, when they came out with those DNA kits, remember that, where you send it in and they'll tell you the history of your family and this and that? Well, turns out that most likely a Chinese front collected DNA. And the greatest collection of DNA in the history of the world, I think, was here just over the last year through the COVID testing. I mean, they stick that Q-tip up to your brain, get that DNA, and anyways, I think they're using that information, the Chinese Communist Party, to modify these bioweapons against the American people. But there in Canada, the Prime Minister has set these goals that I think by July 15th or something, they have to have 70% of the population vaccinated, and by August 1st or whatever, it's 80% and this and that. And if they don't meet those goals, then they're going to stay locked down. And he was telling me that there's his son is, I think, 20, maybe a little older. And there was four other young men that work with him on a landscape crew, and all of them rushed to get the vaccine because, you know, they're just like, well, if we all get the vaccine, then we'll get, you know, opened up and life will return to normal. And the adverse effects that they had were significant. And it's just interesting times that we're living in. We know that the enemy continues to make their plans, but the good news is that our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, sits in the heavens and he laughs at them. But none of those promises are yours until you contact that blood. And that's why it's so critical. That's why the enemy has done everything they can to thwart that truth, as well as the truth of tithing, where God says, you know, test me and see if what I say isn't true. So.
Amen to that. Well, Remnant, we've still got time for some phone calls. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, if you have a question or a comment, again, 307-745-5913. And we'll be glad to take your call.
So we all we all spoke the scripture in Philippians 1:28, no way along by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, for the salvation for you, and that too from God. But if you back up a little bit from that and look at a little more of the context, starting in verse 21, for to me to live in Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed in both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. But yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convicted of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you saying that I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but a salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. That's part of the problem with Josh, and I'm going to say us, but I know for me, in the society that we live in today, it's an instant pleasure society. It's don't want to wait on anything. We borrow the money and pay it back on time so we can have whatever. And we don't have any, none of us think that we should have to suffer anything. But right here, that scripture tells us that it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Sometimes it's a blessing for us to suffer. We're not smart enough to figure that out at the time. Later on, you can see it in retrospect. And I think it's important that we keep that in mind, that, you know, this is, look throughout the Bible, all of your different folks in the Bible that have made a difference. They've suffered at some time or another.
Yes.
But God either blesses them or rewards them, or they move our people towards the greater good. Some are restored, but you always end up better off in the end whenever you stay on that path and you're living for Christ. It's easy to die for God. That's a one-time decision, but it's hard to get up every morning and put your boots on and say, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to fight, and that's what it is. It's a fight every single day, especially, John, for the white Christian male. If you're going to do anything and be productive and try to further the kingdom, you're going to fight. And that's a part of life.
Yeah, amen.
Absolutely.
You know, it's important, I think, that we look at the second part of that promise of tithing in Malachi 3 and verse 11. It says, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor will the vine in the field prove fruitless to you, says the Lord of armies. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. Verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and put me to the test now in this, says the Lord of armies. I think we forget that second part. I know we focused on it several years ago about rebuking the devourer, but that's another promise that we need to claim as well. Lord, Your promise says that if I do this, you will rebuke the devourer. We hold you to that promise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. His word is truth. His word is truth. Yeah, that parable of, you know, the wise and foolish virgins, that it was 50-50, you know, 5 and 5, and that didn't have their oil. And, you know, our pastor taught on that. That didn't have their, had not, just had not bought what needed to be bought, had not paid for it. Because there is a payment required for that free gift. It, like you said, Josh, it's that getting up every morning and saying, hey, I'm gonna try to do better today. I'm gonna do it again today, if that's what it is, living for Christ and try to, I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna not shrink back. I'm not gonna have a spirit of timidity, as Timothy talks about, but of the power and love and discipline that God gives us. You know, I will rejoice at all things. Paul had to drop off, but he talks about that a lot, about, you know, that to rejoice in our sufferings. They make us who we are, and they make us better Christians, whether it's learning endurance, perseverance, we're going through it, as Corinthians says, that, you know, that we are comforted by God so we can comfort others with that same comfort. Until you've had a few years of marriage, until you've had some children, until you've had some adversity in the workplace, and stuff, it's hard to minister to others, to help others that are having those same problems. But when you've struggled and gone through, and I think you mentioned, you know, when you look back on it, I was talking to my daughter about that yesterday, that, you know, we go through these things, but, you know, when we look back on them now, we see that God was always with us, that he was opening doors, closing doors, you know, putting us in the right place, putting other people in the right place around us for that time, and that we don't go through those sufferings, those trials alone. It is something that we need to learn, and we need to be able to apply when we go through them now, so we can understand that, you know, hey, the times are tough right now, but we haven't been abandoned. And his word is true.
What do you see going on, Jace?
Oh, I see a lot of things. You know, I mean, one of the things that I wanted to go ahead and wish everybody just a happy 4th of July for tomorrow. You know, 4th of July is one of my favorite holidays, I would say, that, you know, that we celebrate here in the United States. And it's just because it was, it's something that was actually prophesied in biblical times. You know, at the same time, this is a rough time of year. You know, lost somebody that I considered my dad, somebody that I considered my best friend, and that's been hard. But, you know, he was a prophet, he was a preacher, he was a teacher. He had a lot of different hats that he wore, and was very, very special in my life. And he was somebody that grew up and taught, and when he saw the truth, wasn't afraid to teach it or to speak it, and would proclaim it on the housetops, on the rooftops. And he understood that this land had an eastern sea and a western sea, and he learned so much through just reading his Bible. I remember one of the sermons that he was talking about, and we talked about it quite a bit. When he was reading this stuff and learning this stuff, you know, he put it away several times, and he's like, spiritual Israelism, it's, you know, this and that. He thought he was getting caught up in a cult because he'd been taught some of this stuff, but it was stuff that that they had really fought to hide and to make you not want to believe. And you know, when he learned it, you know, he taught it, he believed it, and I'm so grateful for that. I know 4th of July was one of his favorite holidays also, and you know, because it was in Bible prophecy and it was prophesied, and it was you know, his this is the land and we are the people. I mean, I can just, you know, the hear him saying that over and over and over again. You know, 305 years ago, you know, since that July 4, 1776, you know, that's a long time. And we've seen, there's been in that last 305 years, there's been good times, there's been bad times, there's been exciting times, there's been depressing times. You know, I really see that with everything that's going on, you know, praying and doing, you know, different things and different outlooks on life. It's trying times, but we got to have the attitude that it's trying times for the wicked ones. You know, you know, they are continuing to get exposed, and there's a lot of them that are dropping like flies. It doesn't have to be depressing for us. It can be exciting for us, and I think that we just need to, you know, to just continue to smile at the future. You know, when those Gideon soldiers of old, when they were weary, though they pressed on, and they smiled at the future. And it's, you know, we're commanded to do that. And you know, it couldn't have been easy for them when they were fighting. And it's like, you know, when your army's getting whittled down and smaller and smaller and smaller, sometimes that could be, I can imagine that'd be pretty darn depressing at times. You know what I mean? And they had to work on their attitudes, and it seems like, you know, like the cards are stacked, you know, against us in a lot of different fronts. I mean, we talk about this law and that law that they're making. You know, encourage people to pray for their leaders and pray for, you know, just, you know, prayer. Spend time in prayer. There's things that people need to be doing in the physical realm. There's things people need to be doing in the spiritual realm, and, you know, drawing closer to God. And is something that, you know, everybody needs to do. And you know, there's only one person that ever perfected that. You know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He died for us so that we didn't have to go through what He went through. He died for our sins so that we didn't have to. When people start realizing that, it opens up a whole different world. You know, and when you start talking about, you know, that God has a chosen people. People, first thing that they want to think about generally is Israel. Well, yeah, there's a different Israel. This is a good time of the year to be able to bring that out to them and to show them that, hey, this is the land and we are the people. And, you know, that changes everything when people actually find out that they have a place in the Bible, that He had a people. This is the land. I mean, and that's you know, that's phenomenal. There are so many things that are going on, and it's, you know, people that are, there's a lot of things that are, I mean, coming through as far as on the health and medical side of things. Is like, yeah, we've got vaccines that are you know, are bad, but we've been telling people that for I don't know how many years. I mean, it's there's nothing new under the sun. Don't get the vaccine. Don't take the shot. It's they're no good. But on the other side of things, it's like there's been so much stuff that has come through with the vitamin D and the selenium and fomendazole and with, you know, different parasite cleanses and stuff that, you know, people are getting rid of cancer and curing cancer. And that's one of the things that, boy, they really don't want that information out. So, I don't know. I wanted to wish everybody a really happy 4th of July. Hope everybody has a really, really good time. You know, it was, and remember that this holiday was prophesied in the Bible, and you know, it's one of the few holidays that we celebrate in the United States that is actually a biblical holiday. And you know, we'll just have a good time and enjoy your family and have a great day.
Yeah, Independence Day. There's a great price that was paid for that too. I think we need to remember that as well. But the good news is that God is still on the throne, and the next phase of things to take place, I think, are going to be a great culling within the church of the leadership as the new administration, demonic forces of hell seek out to, well, actually, I think it's more of a test of God to see who choose you this day, who you shall serve. We're right there. If Baal be God, then serve Baal, but if the Lord be God, then serve him. And as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. But the new hate crimes bills and things that are going on are going to hold any preachers specifically liable for any scripture that they read that's derogatory or considered hate speech. So the day is drawing nigh where you will choose one way or the other, and you may be persecuted and you may be martyred, you know. But greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us. And those are all the promises that we have to claim. God's going to test our like never before, I believe, and it's coming like a freight train.
Amen. Amen. You know, many people don't realize that in the Revolutionary War that gained this country its freedom and its birthday, that it was about 3% of the colonists that fought for independence. And most of the rest of them were like, you mentioned, John, the last part of that verse there in 1 Kings, when Elijah came near and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. And about 3% of the people here in the colonies said, you know what? No king but King Jesus. And the rest of them, as it says here in the scripture in 1 Kings 18:21, but the people did not answer him a word. And the majority of the people here in this country just sat back and waited to see what happened. Oh, there were some that were loyalists. There were some that were loyal to the crown. That just kind of kept a low profile. There were some that kept a high profile, that chose, that weren't lukewarm, that chose to be loyalists. But the majority of them just didn't answer a word, just kind of waited to see how it worked out. And it sure seems like that we see that again today.
It makes you... When Jason talks about the vaccines, how we've been against that for as long as I can remember.
Yes.
I know our ministry's always been against that. But, you know, the enemy's crossed over a new threshold of evil. And I believe that their ultimate goal is that which Satan's ultimate goal, to destroy that which God created in his image, which is man. And that these new vaccines, which aren't even vaccines, they're science experiments, that actually alter your RNA, which is your DNA, which distinguishes who you are, how God created you, and how there's no one that's exactly the same. What they're doing is they're creating these hybrids of basically aliens, you know. We probably need to go back and listen to the series that Pastor Peters did on the aliens, because we're right there.
Yes. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Josh, thanks for taking time and coming on. And sure good to hear you, and glad to know you and the family are doing well.
Yeah, it stood out to me when I was reading that scripture, choose you this day. This day is today.
Yes.
And this day isn't waiting on that day when Christ returns, or... No, that's that day. This is this day. Today is this day. So,
amen.
Hold ourselves accountable for what we do today to further the kingdom. The best way for an enemy to win a battle is not even have to fight. If they just conquer you without firing a shot, that is their optimal outcome. And, you know, John, like you said, I would say they're probably expending 90% of their work to come against us, the white Christian male. You know, everywhere
absolutely.
You look,
pulled out all the steps.
We are the target. But whenever it's choosing who we're going to serve, that is everything that you do every day. People are watching you, and they know that we're Christians and we're different, and our light should be shining. And folks need to take that seriously. And you think you can get away with something, you know, well, you're not getting away from it. And God sees it, and the people around you see it. And if you want to have a word with them whenever the time counts, when it matters, and you're trying to have that conversation with them about Christ, you can't be a guy that sells used vehicles to folks that covers up problems and makes money on them, or a guy that cheats folks. You know, I mean, you got to have a good name. You got to do God's work every day to be able to have a name so that people will listen whenever you speak.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Remnant, we do want to invite you to come to church tomorrow. You can do that at scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream. That'll start at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And we do. We invite you. We'd love to have you join us. Come and fellowship. And like Jason had said, that this holiday that the nation celebrates tomorrow is a biblical holiday. We'll give you some scriptures on that tomorrow, and so that if you don't have them, you can see them. So we do invite you to come. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. Looking forward to that. We'll have the opportunity to partake of communion, to remember, as Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," and we'll do that. And so we hope you can join us again at scriptures4america.org. Well, men, thanks a lot, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
this country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the